Couple of questions for you today. Is there new life coming to the Remington Arms site in Bridgeport? And will there be new operational ownership soon for Pleasure Beach? Joining us to give us all the details he can about this is Tom Gaudette for the city of Bridgeport. Hey, Tom, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I am doing fine, Tom, and I so appreciate getting your time because I know how busy you guys are and there's always things going on. Let's start with Remington Arms. I had seen a report a few weeks ago, actually. I have to give credit where credit is due. My buddy Frank Recchia from News 12 did an exclusive interview with Mayor Joe Ganim at the time, and not a lot has come out since then. So I wanted to talk about Remington and what the future holds for this site. First of all, what is it for people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, so Remington Arms is the site where we used to have a factory or a series of factories over on the east side of Bridgeport. And just within the last 2 years, the final buildings that were on the site that were very dilapidated and ugly looking have now been brought down with the help of some state money and also some city money. And if you go by the east side, drive on the highway, you can see that we've restored that historic shop tower and sort of at least stabilized it for now until we figure out its future. So we've brought down the ugly buildings, and now it's time to figure out what's next. So the city of Bridgeport has issued a request for proposals, and we have a few that are under consideration right now to take the next step for that site.
So what could the future hold for that site, Tom? Obviously, we don't want to, like, put the cart before the horse, but what are some of the proposals, if you will, on the table for this site?
Yeah, so I can't get into specifics because obviously they're still under consideration and that's part of the RFP process. But what I can say is that there's sort of mostly light industrial or commercial uses that are being proposed. At least one of the proposals actually envisions having some light industrial on the site and a little bit of residential there as well. So it's an interesting site because it's kind of smack dab between some other industrial uses on our east side and a neighborhood with a lot of housing. And so we need to be very careful about what we put there. But our goal is to try to create jobs and bring new things to the east side, try to replace an old site that was home for manufacturing, maybe with something that's light manufacturing in the modern day. There's a possibility of mixing and matching some of the different proposals that we've received because it is a very big site. So there's a lot to consider.
And again, we have Tom Gaudette here with the city of Bridgeport. What about the cleanup at that site, Tom? I would imagine before, you know, any kind of project takes shape, that there's going to be a lot of, but maybe not, a lot of site cleanup, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be a remediation of the soil, as with any brownfield. So what will happen is as soon as we've sort of figured out which project or projects we're going to be awarding there, then they will work with the current owners of the property to start the remediation process of the soil. So we've done a lot of prep work there of at least bringing down the old buildings and at least stabilizing the shop tower building. And now we can sort of select proposals and then remediation begins. You can imagine that this is going to unfold over a series of years, right? Nothing's going to happen immediately. But the important thing is that we're getting to work, again, turning over these old historic brownfields that we have throughout the city of Bridgeport to make way for new development.
And, you know, there's also kind of a balancing act here, Tom, I would imagine, because you're talking about this factory, but doesn't it date back to like the 60s, 50s, around that time?
You know, that sounds right to me. I
right?
don't have my dates in front of me, but
no,
it's
okay.
Super historic. And, you know, I mean, this is part of Bridgeport's rich industrial past.
Right.
You know, making armaments for World War II. That's why we're preserving the shot tower, by the way. We've invested a fair amount of our, you know, public money to at least preserve that one asset because it is really cool and historic. There's a lot of history in that building. The idea is that we would turn it into something new and cool. Maybe, you know, a pub can go there. Maybe it could be housing. Maybe it could be a mix of things. But we wanted to try to keep at least some of the rich history of Bridgeport on the site still.
Well, that was kind of why I was hinting at that question, Tom, which is, you know, it's a balancing act, right? Because you want to clean up, obviously, the site. You want to be able to give it a new future that's really going to help, you know, create jobs, but also, you know, create, obviously, economic opportunity and growth for the city. But I would imagine that people want to also spare some of that historical context. I mean, when you look at that shot tower, you know it's such a representation of the humble beginnings of Bridgeport. I mean, it's so much of the legacy of the city.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout out to State Representative Chris Rosario and the Lamont administration, who just awarded us within the last couple of weeks a $2 million grant to actually go into the preservation of the Shaw Tower. So we've deployed city bonding dollars to at least stabilize it to make sure that, you know, it doesn't further deteriorate in any way and that we can take the next steps to make it something new. And we can keep it, but I will give them credit. They have given us a few million dollars more now to do that work because, yes, this is a historic asset. You know, there are a lot of, you know, ugly, dilapidated buildings that are part of our past that we need to get rid of to make way for new stuff. But where we can, like in this case, we need to preserve history as well.
And the last thing I want to ask before we change subjects, Tom, what comes next? I believe the city council has to look at this next month, correct? Or at least try to figure out kind of a development concept?
So there's no specific timeline. I think what we're doing right now is we're doing due diligence with the proposals that we've received to try to vet them out and make sure that they're not too speculative. If we're going to be mixing and matching proposals, what might work together well, we need to talk with our council members specifically from the East Side District who have a strong interest in making sure we do the right thing over here because this is a really important project. And once we're all kind of on the same page, then absolutely whatever land development agreements we advance will go to the city council for consideration. It'll be a public hearing. And, you know, we go from there.
We are keeping a close eye on some of the major properties in Bridgeport being discussed actively right now. Kind of some new changes to properties like Remington Arms to possibly new ownership like Pleasure Beach. Joining us on the show again, Tom Gaudet, who is the chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport. Let's talk about Pleasure Beach, Tom, because I was reading recently that there are some inquiries about another entity kind of taking over this property, including the Aspetuck Land Trust. So before we get to that, let's talk about what's gone on at Pleasure Beach. What's going on in recent years that this is even a topic of conversation in Bridgeport?
Yeah, I mean, Pleasure Beach, as many people know, is a sort of a large island off of Bridgeport. The bridge to it had burned down a long time ago, and so now it's not as easily accessible, and that bridge has never been rebuilt, mainly because, you know, the cost would be extraordinary. And so there have been water taxis that the city of Bridgeport has offered during the summer season for free to people to get over to the beach. And, you know, it's mainly used for people that want to either access the beach over there or to fish. And over the recent years, it's been an incredible challenge for multiple reasons, namely the ticks. We have ticks that carry disease that have been quite an issue, especially last year for us. And then there's also a number of other environmental issues over there, including lots of invasive species, endangered species like the piping plover and osprey nests and all kinds of different challenges there that we are, as a city, trying to deal with. And sometimes the issues that we run into affect the ability of us to get the public over to the island safely and to be there with nature. So that's been our challenge.
So let's talk about now what the future looks like, because to your point, the ticks last summer, and I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it had to shut down most, if not all, the summer last year.
Yeah, last year was particularly bad, you know, and we brought experts to bear on the issue, and it was out of control last year. Fortunately, this year, I can say that there's been a lot of work that's been done in the last year to get ready for this season. So July 4th weekend, the water taxis will be available and free to the public to get over there on weekends and holidays.
Is that already, you said that's going to be available or it is already?
Yes. Yeah, no, it will be starting the July 4th weekend.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Yep.
So what's going on with new potential ownership? Like I said, not to name drop, but I guess I already did. But I mean, I've read enough times that Aspetuck Land Trust was tapped as a potential new owner. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so the Aspetuck Land Trust, for those that don't know, is a nonprofit entity that has a wonderful mission. You know, their existence is to preserve and protect natural assets, but also to give people access to nature. And they kind of approached us because they do this work throughout Fairfield County. And they said, hey, you know, we've heard about the challenges over at Pleasure Beach. Maybe we can help. And, you know, I know that, you know, in the Connecticut Post and other places, it was advertised that maybe they would be interested in buying it. But it doesn't necessarily have to come to that. there are other sort of legal mechanisms, such as a preservation easement or something like that, that would give them sort of the same access and control over the property without necessarily selling it. But the goal would be that they would work with us, you know, in city government to try to, you know, basically manage it and do all the things that I'm talking about, which is one, preserve and protect the natural asset, preserve and protect the endangered species, deal with the invasive species, deal with, you know, issues like ticks and things like that. But also, the core of their mission is to give people access. They want people to go over there. They want there to be walking trails, and they want there to be educational programs, things that we haven't provided, honestly, over the last years. And so these would be new opportunities that we haven't really considered up till now. We're kind of excited to have the conversation, but nothing will happen until they have spoken with and they've already engaged in this dialogue with residents of the East End in particular, you know, where Pleasure Beach is located.
So what and what exactly does that, to your point, Tom, absolutely, Aspetuck Land Trust, I think, has a really great reputation surrounding areas. And I know Bridgeport has done a lot of collaborative work with them and Fairfield in the past. So I think people are familiar. But what would that kind of entail? What would that really mean if they were to, if we were to shift the ownership from the city to them? What would that mean? Would it, it would still mean public access to this. It would just mean having people more connected to environmental needs of a property, or, like, I guess for people to really understand what this would mean for them, you know, I guess in layman's terms, what would that mean?
Well, I mean, I have to say that not all of the details have been worked out, and I have my questions too about, like, what is still going to be a city responsibility here and what would go to the Aspetuck Land Trust if we decided to engage in this type of arrangement. But what I will say are a few things that are fundamental, which is one, that our goal is to try to, as long as this island is still above sea level, we will be providing access to the public. That is absolutely essential. It's the reason that the city still runs the water taxis there, and it's at the core of Aspetuck's mission. So they would be helping us do that. And I think, you know, I think Aspetuck's interest in it, again, is just they can help us. You know, they can help us where we've had challenges. Again, just dealing with these invasive species and trying to protect the natural asset that's there. And, you know, and then run programming. I mean, you know, we don't really have much programming over there now, and they would do that. You know, they've got people that maybe could do walking tours of the island and, you know, can talk about the species that are there. And these would just be new things that we haven't really offered to date. And that's why I'm kind of excited about at least discussing it, because I think it will take what we do now and just enhance it that much more.
And I'm just curious, Tom, because, again, not, you know, trying to say that I own the sandbox whatsoever, because I know very little in regards to different groups that could do what Aspetuck is doing or could do for Pleasure Beach. But do we know of other interested parties? So, for example, I was thinking about the Manresa Wilds project, and that was a couple essentially in Norwalk that decided, hey, this is, you know, yes, they are using, you know, a lot of environmental groups to help them, but it was local people who decided to make a big investment in Manresa Island, which is now Manresa Wilds. And certainly, you know, we've seen the Connecticut Audubon get involved with different groups before. I don't know if Aspetuck is the only one that has shown interest, but is this open basically to other environmental parties or groups to also have an opportunity to be looked at potentially for operating Pleasure Beach?
Yeah, I mean, nothing has been set in stone yet. I think Aspetuck was the first sort of major entity with the capability that reached out to us to have the conversation. You know, I think they're plenty capable and interested and, you know, have the perfect mission for what we're trying to do. But certainly we're open to anyone and anyone that wants to be helpful and wants to help us meet that mission. So absolutely.
Tom, always appreciate being able to chat with you. Thank you so much. And keep us in the loop. What happens next with both of those properties, please, and thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too. Again, Tom Gaudette, the Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Bridgeport.